Who's ready for God's word this morning? Amen. God bless you today. Let's do this today. Will you do this? We don't do this very frequently, but today I'd like for us to stand for the reading of the word of God together. And continuing in our series, Season of Wonder, I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 14. And then also, I'll get you to read aloud with me just a couple of texts from Hebrews today. Going to the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's jump to verse 14. Read this one aloud with me. Everybody come on, with some authority. Ready? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And finally, Hebrews 15, 5 and 6, as we get started this morning together. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I like that one a lot. In fact, let's read verse 6 one more time, everybody out loud. Here we go. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. Lift your hands and let's pray. God, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for your word, for your presence this morning. My prayer this today, Lord, is that you will use me in speaking your word into the lives of your people, Lord, in a way that will encourage and uplift and build the faith of your family today, Father. We rely upon your word, Lord. We need your word, and we love your word, and we receive your word today. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jason and your team. Incredible job this morning, as always, guys. What an amazing worship experience we have. I'm always inspired and intrigued during this time of year to revisit the Christmas story several times, usually over the course of preparation for ministry on Sundays and Wednesdays. But I have to go back to this amazing story today. I'm going to talk to us today about the five wonders of Jesus. Talking about Season of Wonder this month, and today I want to hit on five wonders of Jesus. And we look at Matthew chapter 1, and you're all familiar with this story. It's when the angel was pronouncing the impending birth of the Lord. He just said, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Everybody say it with me. Say God with us. Ready? God with us. Always intrigued at this time of year to look at this story of Mary and Joseph and how God chose to select this unassuming, mysterious young woman for no other reason other than the Bible says she had found favor with God. That's all it says. And He selected Mary to bring forth the Messiah, the only begotten of God, Jesus, into the world. I like to think about how Jesus began His earthly existence through one of the most awe-inspiring miracles in all of creation history. He was born to a virgin. Born to a virgin. How many realize we still believe in the virgin birth around here? Amen. I can never get over the power and the mystery of how the angel described to Mary how this miracle would take place. When she asked him, how can this possibly be since I do not know a man? The angel just told her this. He said, rejoice, highly favored one, because the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, so that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? It's the first wonder, guys. I wonder, and I stand in amazement, and really, at this awe-inspiring moment in creation history, God's going to come upon you and overshadow you, and you're going to conceive. And this is one of the things that we focus on at Christmas time. So this morning, I'm speaking to us about five wonders of Jesus. And you're going to see today, over the next few minutes, why you can put your trust in Jesus and how you can have confidence in the presence of Jesus. Because, hey, that first Christmas, guys, dating back everything, you've seen the imagery for weeks now. In Bethlehem's manger, listen, it was so much more than what we can make it out to be this season. It was so much more than the holiday hustle. It meant that you could have the advantage of Christ's presence in your life. And by the way, it's his presence that still makes all the difference. Can you say a good amen right there? It's his presence that still makes all the difference. So I'm going to fly through a few of these and quickly try to get to point number four. We'll hang out for just a moment. But number one, the first wonder of Jesus that we read this morning is simply this. Jesus has always been. Jesus has always been. Your word told you this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. What does that mean for us this morning? It means you can be confident today that Jesus has always existed, even before in Mary's manger. It's an amazing wonder of the Lord. See, although we recognize and celebrate his incarnation at this time of the year, the truth is he's always been. He's never not been. Think about that for a moment. Think about the fact that he's always been. He was there. And you can be confident this morning that he was and is and he still is. Amen. He's always been the most influential figure in creation history. And by the way, he was alive then, he's alive now, and in the flesh, he's coming back again in the flesh to establish his kingdom on this earth. And the Bible says that of his government, there will be no end. Why can you be confident of that this morning and put your trust in the Lord? Because before Jesus came to Bethlehem, he was present in the beginning with God. That means that he has no limits. Y'all need to lean in on that one. I said he has no limits. Time does not control him. It means that he's not bound by the things that we are bound by. Does that build your faith? The physical properties that restrict you and me do not apply to Jesus. He didn't just show up in a manger. He was and is the Word. He was with God and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus always has been. I want you to know that today. He's always been. Look at number two. I want you to see this number two wonder of Jesus. Jesus is the one who made everything. Did you read that with me this morning? Jesus is the one who made everything. Your word said this in verse number three, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, Jesus is the one who made everything. Everybody say all things. You cannot observe the beauty of creation long enough to discover something that was not made by Jesus, because he made it all. He made everything you see. He's the agent of creation who sprung into action to do the creating when God the Father said, let there be. He's the one who did it. And that's when he traversed the whole universe and he created all things that have ever been made. Church, when you and I listen and you observe and watch television and you hear people debating back and forth about whether it all came into being through natural selection or intelligent design, we can end that debate right here and right now this morning. Jesus is the intelligence who designed it all. He's the designer. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, he's the designer. Amen. He's the one who made everything. That's what the book of First of John says. Number three, life comes from him. Life comes from Jesus. We don't see that, but closely unless we look at it. Verse 4 said, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You may have noticed that in this world, and we live in a time when people are in a serious search for significance and meaning. Have y'all noticed that? They're looking for real life, doing everything they can possibly do to escape their mundane, cold, monotonous existence and to find out what real life is all about. And you've probably also noticed that God's enemies and even the world, they're doing everything they can do to remove the concept of Jesus Christ and remove the necessity of man's kind need of his redemption. In other words, they're trying to take Jesus out of the picture. But I want to say something today about that. Their search for real life is always going to come up empty because they're searching in the dark. You won't find real life until you go to the source of life. And he's the source of all life. Can you say a good amen? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And your Bible tells you that Jesus is the one who gives life because he is life. And church, he is still the light of all men. Come on. Praise God. Can y'all receive it today? Wonder number three, life comes from Jesus. And number four, Jesus, this is what I want to kind of park for just a moment. Jesus is God among us. Say that with me, everybody. Ready? Jesus is God among us. Here's what the word said from verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. This happens to be my favorite Christmas scripture because this is exactly what happened that night in Bethlehem. The word became flesh. It was more than just a random child being born to a virgin girl named Mary. It was more than shepherds in the field, more than wise men, more than gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It meant so much more. When Jesus was born, church, it was the Son of the living God making a transition. He was transitioning from one state of glory to putting on a state of humanity. Y'all hear me today? This is really, it was a big-time supernatural wonder that took place. He put on humanity so that he could experience everything that you and I have to experience in this life. He put on humanity so that he could endure temptation, so that he could endure physical and emotional pain, so that he could know what it was like to be left alone, so that he could know what it was like to be abandoned by those people he thought he could trust and love, to know what it was like to be disgraced and to go through suffering in this life. But church, he did it all. And when he overcame all of that, he did it while maintaining a perfect, sinless life. All right, I'm getting somewhere now. Watch this. He did all of that. Everything that you and I go through in this life, Jesus had to be born to have a real life, just like you and I have a real life, to experience suffering and heartache and pain. But he did it differently than we do it. He did it while maintaining his righteous state before God the Father. He was perfectly sinless. Come on, somebody. He never sinned. That's why the Bible says that you and I have a high priest in Jesus, the Bible says, who can be touched because we can relate to him and he can relate to us. And because he overcame sin and because he overcame death on the cross, every person can believe by faith and be reconciled back to God. I don't know about you, but I want you to see this morning that that is what Christmas is really all about. It's about Jesus becoming and dwelling among us. The manger in Bethlehem was Jesus. He was moving from his heavenly position as designer and creator and overseer of all life. He was moving from that position over into his other role as the sacrificial lamb of God. He became God among us. And that's kind of where I want to stay for just a moment. I want to land right here and make this point very, very practical with this statement. And let this stick to your spirit today. His presence still creates a difference. Why don't you read that on your screen? His presence still creates a difference. Let's pause here for a moment and make this very practical. Christmas is all about the presence of Jesus. It's really what it's all about. But it's more than just a historical event, church. His presence still makes all the difference in our lives. I want you to see this morning that his presence is what gives you the greatest home field advantage in this life. For whatever you might face, his presence is what you need to face it. Oh, you need his presence more than you need money. You need his presence more than you need intelligence. You need his presence more than you need skills. You need his presence more than you need friends. His presence still is what makes all the difference. Can y'all receive that this morning? His presence is what matters. And so there are just a few examples from Scripture that I want to call to your attention to help us get there this morning. And the first example is going to be the story of Joshua in Deuteronomy number 37. This is an amazing story where Moses is having a conversation with Joshua. And Moses was dealing with the fact that he was 120 years old and it was time for him to reach out and encourage his successor Joshua in leadership of Israel. And here's what Moses told Joshua. He says, Joshua, I want you to be strong in the Lord and of good courage, because the Lord is the one who goes before you, and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. How is that practical for his presence for us? Here it is, church. When God leads you to a big assignment, something intimidating, something that you just know that unless God has your back, you might not get it done. You ever been there before? Or when you're facing something difficult in this life, hear me, the very first thought you should have and the very first thing that you should do is remind yourself that you're not alone, that God is with you. If God has brought you to it, he is going before you and he will not leave you. But his presence is there to strengthen you and to give you the courage that you need. This is God's nature. It's his promise. I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I've been so thankful that I could take a step back and take a deep breath and remind myself, you know what? I may feel alone right now, but I'm going to remind myself right now that I'm not by myself. I'm not alone. God is with me. He's dwelling in me. He's dwelling in me and with me, and I've got the power of the Most High at my back right now. Have you ever been through something where you need that kind of momentum in your life? This is the promise of the Lord. Your very first step, hear me, is to make yourself aware of his presence. And that's going to affect your outcome, church, because his presence creates an advantage for you. It enables you to be more through him and by his presence than you could ever be on your own. Somebody get a hold of that this morning. You're going to face something soon, and you're going to have an opportunity there to exercise your faith in this truth that God's with you. If you're operating in your own strength and your own power, it could be that you can't get it done. But church, hear me. His presence is with you. If you're a believer this morning, his presence and his power reside in you and with you, and you don't have to worry about it because you know what? He's going to see you through. Can anybody receive that this morning? To me, this is what Christmas is really all about. His presence still makes a difference. The second example that I want to focus on for just a moment is this. The woman with the issue of blood. How many of you guys know this story? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22, this is an amazing story. This is a woman with issue of blood. She had serious problems. Serious problems. Bible says she was ceremonially unclean for 12 years. That means that she had suffered years in isolation. It meant that she had to adjust her lifestyle. She had to make changes because she was alienated from the people in her life. She was viewed by society as a woman who was untouchable. But there was something that happened. She heard that when Jesus shows up, things change. She had been hearing about the presence of Jesus. She had been hearing that as long as he's there, she can expect something to change if she put her faith in him. Amen. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. Amen. Here, church, here's the radical truth about the presence of Jesus. His presence takes seemingly impossible situations and causes them to become possible situations. His presence shifts the odds in your favor. When he is near, impossibilities become possibilities. This is why we want to emphasize experiencing and having encounters with the presence of God in church experiences. And not just in church, but in your life. Man, how we need the presence of God. Let me say this. If it's been too long since you've experienced the presence of Jesus, you need to get back to where he is. Amen. It's difficult to be discouraged in his presence. It's difficult to give up in his presence. It's difficult not to love and forgive when you're in the presence of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. And if you've distanced yourself from his presence, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll get everything back in line when you get back in where he is. Because if you're far from God, he's not the one who moved. Can you say a good amen right there? This woman's faith was fueled by the expectation of what can happen in his presence. Everybody say his presence. His presence, the five wonders of Jesus. There's a wonder that takes place in the presence of Jesus. A third good example is Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And you all know this story. It's an amazing story. Bible says that Bartimaeus sat by the road begging for years and years. There was no way that he could have physically seen the evidence of what God could do, but he heard that when Jesus shows up, things can change. Aren't you glad about that? When Jesus shows up, things can really change. Mark 10 says that when Jesus came near him, that he began to yell in a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, he was desperate. You ever been desperate? Have mercy on me, Jesus. The special thing about this story is in Mark 10 and 48, the Bible says that the people all around Bartimaeus tried to convince him to be quiet. But what I love about Bartimaeus was his desperation didn't become intimidated by what they had to say. The Bible says that all of their trying to convince him to be quiet about what he needed from God just made him begin to yell out to Jesus even louder. Jesus, 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 don't pass me by, Son of David. Have mercy over here. Give me some mercy, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've had moments like that in my life when I just knew, you know, I just get a hold of God and just reach out to him and just experience his presence and know that when he shows up, something's going to break. Something's going to change. Something's going to happen in my favor. Talking about desperation right now. Come on. Hear this, church. This is a lesson learned right here. You may have people in your life who don't like the fact that you're interested in getting something from his presence. Have y'all noticed this? Just like Bartimaeus, these people tried to get him to shut up about needing something from God. But in his presence, hear me out, guys. Don't look or listen to people around you to determine what you believe about God and what God can do. Don't let them determine where you stand with God. Amen. Somebody say a good one right there. Come on. Amen. This is about his presence this morning. I'm going to tell you something. Don't let those other people influence you. If you need something from God, prioritize his presence in your life. He'll show up for you, and when he shows up, something good is going to happen for you. Yeah, amen. In his presence, the most desperate needs can be met. That's why we need his presence. He's God among us. His presence still creates a difference. Can y'all say a good amen right there, guys? And that brings me to wonder number five, the fifth and final wonder of Jesus that we'll mention today. And that's simply this. Jesus is full of grace and truth. That's what the Bible says. He's full of grace and truth. Our scripture in verse 14 said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We think about all the reasons Jesus came in this season. There's none more important than the fact that Jesus came to bring grace, to give grace to men and women, boys and girls. Everybody say grace. He came to be grace and truth and righteousness on our behalf. We'll say it like this. He is full of grace. That means he doesn't run out. He doesn't run out of grace. That means that whatever it is that you've experienced, he has grace for that. It means that whatever it is that you've done, he has grace for that. He came and dwelt among us to be the distributor grace. Isn't that a beautiful thought today? The wonder of Jesus. He came to distribute grace. And that's why, church, it's time for people right now to accept grace from the Lord. It's time for people to begin to walk out their lives in the freedom and the liberty for which Jesus came, to give his life so that you could be changed, to be with you and experience life just like you experience it, so that you can touch him and he can touch you. He's full of life and grace and truth. Can y'all receive it today? God bless you this morning. Stand up with me all over the house. I want to begin to pray for us.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us today online. Just a couple things before you go. First, if you'd like to get connected within the church, you can do that by scanning the QR code that's on your screen now and filling out the Connect form. Second, if there's any comments you'd like to leave, any prayer requests, or any comments on the service that you'd like, anything you got out of it that you'd like to leave, please leave that in a comment below. And thanks again for tuning in and worshiping with us, and we'll see you next week.